Barb Boosinger, and we're going down the road on the Blue Ridge Music Trails of North Carolina, home to a rich heritage of America's traditional music.
The Blue Ridge Music Trails is a program of the Blue Ridge National Heritage Area, a nonprofit organization that seeks to sustain, cultivate, and promote the living cultural heritage of the Western North Carolina mountains and foothills. Our five areas of focus are agricultural heritage, Cherokee heritage, craft heritage, music heritage, and natural heritage. An intersection of the natural and musical heritage of Western North Carolina can be found in the high mountains. Red spruce, Picea rubens, is prominent at altitudes above 5,000 feet in the southern Appalachians. It's also one of the primary tone woods used in traditional construction of mandolins and guitars. Many of the Holy Grail Martin guitars of the 1930s and 1940s and Gibson Lloyd Lore mandolins from the 1920s were constructed with red spruce as the top material. To learn more about red spruce, we spoke with Marquette Crockett, the Highlands of Rhone Stewardship Director for the Southern Appalachians Highlands Conservancy, and noted luthier, musician, and writer James Condino of Asheville. Marquette spoke about where red spruce is found.
Red spruce is associated with the most magical places in our mountains. The highest, most chilly, isolated spots that you can think of. So Grandfather Mountain, Rhone Mountain, the Balsams, the Blacks. Those are the places that you find red spruce. And because of that, it creates, along with its cousin Fraser fir, right? It creates this really unique ecosystem that supports federally listed species. So Carolina Northern Flying Squirrel, Spruce Fir Moth Spider, those sort of federally listed species. And then it also supports some really unique birds. So Red Crossbills, Black-capped Chickadees, Softwet Owls. And you really just don't find those things anywhere else in any other ecosystem in our mountains. So it makes it really unique. When you think of spruce fir, you think of Canada, right? Like think of cold, wet, boreal ecosystems. And those ecosystems were pushed down the mountains in the Ice Age. And when the glaciers retreated, the only place that they could survive and remain really were these isolated sky islands. So by elevation, they're really cold and wet places. And so those are the only places that you find spruce and fir ecosystems now. Obviously, it was much bigger. And in addition to sort of climate variables, it was logged extensively.
James spoke about the history of logging and how it contributed to the instrument building industry.
The economy wasn't very good during the 20s and 30s, and so this part of the nation was harvested the most. So the big company, Martin Guitars, Gibson Guitars, those people, the people that buy spruce in, you know, 10,000 guitar tops at a time, not six, they're looking for an economy of scale and volume. And when, like, wow, we're cutting down 400 acres in North Carolina this week in the 1930s, then there was a lot of wood to be had, and that was very different than, you know, the infrastructure in that 100 years ago was not very good getting, like, it had to come on a train from Vancouver sort of thing versus just being able to put it on a flatbed and drive it to Kalamazoo or Nazareth, Pennsylvania. I think those are the primary factors in driving the vintage era, you know, the 1920s and 30s.
One of the key characteristics that makes red spruce an ideal tonewood is its strength. Marquette and James both talked about its strength.
But some of the strength, I think, from spruce really comes from the age of the wood and the tautness of the growth rings in the wood.
Red spruce is just tough and ornery. When I put it on the bandsaw, when I'm going across the grain or into it and resawing it, it puts up more of a fight than a piece of mahogany will or harder woods. Mm-hmm. And it's just ornery. When I'm carving a top, like when I'm carving an archtop guitar or a double bass or mandolin top, with red spruce, I'll get on there and make a lot of noise and carve, 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 and think like I must have taken 3 or 4 millimeters off. And I'll measure it, and it'll be like 0.2 millimeters is all that's gone.
Here's James on how this strength and other characteristics of red spruce affect sound.
I'm not a fingerstyle guitar player. I tend to be more of a flat picker. And I don't play alone in pleasant, quiet, polite listening situations. They are in rooms where it's rowdy and there's a lot of people and there's banjos and everything else and you want to pound it. And the red spruce has a lot of what I'll call headroom, you know, so that like the more energy I put into it, the more it'll keep going, almost to the point where it's musically unpleasant. And I need to back off because I can keep going and it's like it's defeating the purpose, but more volume keeps coming out. So that's useful as a musical tool, especially somebody that plays a lot of acoustic music, right? And, you know, especially in the bluegrass tradition and the folk traditions and the old time traditions of this part of the country.
Being a luthier in Western North Carolina has its benefits, as James will readily admit.
In North Carolina, it's the market value and sort of the buzzwords on the local red spruce are known everywhere. You know, they have the sort of the golden era of the 30s, 40s of building instruments is well known for that and well documented. So that's a sort of a double bonus, right? Like I can actually pay a higher price or charge a higher price for just what's my local wood. Mm-hmm. And it's fun being a wood nerd, you know, as a local builder, I always feel that, you know, I'm setting myself up for the best level of success if I can use a regional material, right? It's expanding and contracting and moving seasonally and with the climate and the humidity and everything else close to what I live in. And so it's going to work better for that. And so if I can use something local, I just feel as though like it just seems more appropriate. And it also, in some manners, I feel as though it helps me sort of have somewhat of a little more regional, sustainable economy with what I'm doing. Benefits me and the local folks better. If I'm buying a piece of spruce from somebody over in Bryson City, that's very different than if I'm having it shipped from a guy up in Alaska.
When a tree comes down, it's not ready to become an instrument. James talked about how spruce needs to become ready to work.
Ideally, I'm going to let it set about 10 years would be my preference. But I can also accelerate that, right? I could certainly, if I'm going to torrify it or some type of thermal curing, it's nice if I can let it breathe for a little while, you know. In an ideal world, it will be like 25, 30 years old.
So, what does a luthier look for in a piece of red spruce?
I find somebody that's got a lot of it, you know, at least 500 sets, a couple thousands even better, so that I make a day out of it, you know, or a day out of just visiting them. And then I go through every single one and flex and tap and scratch and do everything I can. Ideally, if I can, I'll use a Luchi meter, measures the speed of sound through it, too. Mm. I'm also looking for the density and the deflection in it and how it feels to me. But above everything, I want it to sound musical. If I pick up a bunch of boards, there are some that seem to meet all those criteria that I'm looking for structurally, and I tap it and scratch in it, and it's just dead as a brick. It's uninspiring. And I want the boards that meet those other structural and cosmetic criteria. And, like, there's just something lively and exciting about it. Like, it wants to make noise and racket. Mm-hmm.
James also shared some insights into his approach to building instruments.
Of all the variables I'm using, you know, for building a guitar, say, the variables I have are the species of wood, and then the characteristics of the individual board, and then how thick I manipulate it, and how I brace it. And, that you know, that's four independent variables that are, it's hard building guitars. No way around it. It's challenging. It's way harder than anything I ever did in engineering school. And so if I can eliminate one of those variables, then I've just got three to work with. That's a win to me. So I tend to go for very specific wood.
For wood to be harvested and turned into instruments, the species has to be healthy and well-managed. Marquette shared more about the work that she does.
I work on Roan Mountain, and we do a lot of the grassy balds, open areas, sunny management. And so, like, the best thing in the world is in the middle of the summer, walking off the balds and like dipping into the spruce. And it literally feels like you're dipping your head into cool water. Like it's that dark and shady. And the Southern Appalachian Highlands Conservancy is a land trust that works exclusively in Western North Carolina and East Tennessee. We've been around, we're celebrating our 50th year this year. And we've protected almost 90,000 acres of land in our region. So that's conservation lands, really high conservation value land like spruce fir forests, but it's also parks for people. It's active farmland protection. Our job is really just to try to keep our region as vibrant and beautiful as it is now.
Red spruce was in the news in 2022. Ruby, a North Carolina red spruce tree, was selected to be the U.S. Capitol's Christmas tree, known as the People's Tree.
I think Ruby is a really beautiful story because it was one tree, one spruce that was harvested, sort of collectively selected by the community to be the national Christmas tree. Ruby traveled around and educated folks about spruce fir, which is one of the things we work on a lot, and was then used as Capitol Christmas tree. And then the wood from Ruby is being used by partners to not only raise funds for spruce restoration, but also raise awareness about this really incredible ecosystem that occurs in the Southern Appalachians.
For more information about efforts on the Southern Appalachian Spruce Restoration Initiative, check out southernspruce.org. For more on the Southern Appalachian Highlands Conservancy, visit appalachian.org. And to learn more about James and Condino String Instruments, go to condino.com.
Down the road he comes to the turn, rocks in a road as big as a churn. Down the road, I've got a sugar baby down the line.
Road on the Blue Ridge Music Trails is brought to you by the Blue Ridge National Heritage Area, the North Carolina Arts Council, and WNCW-FM.